you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we reverently approach Thee this night, Lord, knowing that one word off is Satan's kingdom. And so, Father, we come reverently and humbly before Thy throne, believing, O God, that Your word is infallible. Your word is our absolute. And so, Father, we ask that You would help us to understand that word, to understand what You have come in this hour to do. Help us, O God, to understand the time of the parousia and the great attributes and characteristics, the great signs and the events of this great time that we're living in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. This evening, I would like to take just a simple message concerning the parousia of Christ and make a list of all the signs and events, the attributes and characteristics that were prophesied by Scripture that are associated with the personal presence of God at the end time, parousia, the presence of Christ. First of all, let's just read from Matthew 24, and we're going to begin at verse 3 to see what Jesus himself predicted would take place, prophesied actually, what would take place at the time of his personal parousia. And I'm going to read through what he says and then list them for our understanding. In Matthew 24 and verse 3, there's a question. And as he sat in the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? That's the first question. When shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy parousia, of thy presence, and of the end of the world? Now remember, these disciples didn't have a theology that said first coming and second coming, first advent, second advent. They were just looking at presence, his presence. So the question was, okay, what are the signs going to be, and when is this going to happen? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying that I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. For he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop come not down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. Now, Jesus kind of diverted here, and according to Brother Bram, you find, and I don't have time to get into this tonight, but from about verse 15 to verse 18, he's actually talking about something that's going to happen to the Jews first. All right? He says, when you therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. That's when Rome came in and basically took over with their big ensign, their big sign. He says, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea, see, this is not talking about Cincinnati. It's not talking about Jeffersonville. Them which be in Judea, flee into the mountains, and let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field turn back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray you that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Why? Because on the Sabbath day the gates of Jerusalem were sealed. They're closed. You couldn't enter and leave. So if this were to come on And so, according to history, according to Josephus, not one Christian was found in Judea at the time, or Jerusalem at the time of this siege. But over a million Jews died, and many of them ate even their children to try to live during this time. Now, he continues, though, because he's talking about, you see, and he says, for then shall be great tribulation, such as not was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. So this was a great tribulation for the Jews. They ate their children. It was a terrible time. They were slaughtered, burnt, everything else. Because there's another tribulation we'll talk about a little bit later. And except those days shall be shortened, there should be no flesh saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. See, then. In other words, okay, now we're moving on. For thus shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I told you before, therefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, believe it not. Now listen, this is speaking of people trying to make William Branham Christ. And Brother Branham said, if you say that, you know, if you say you got to move to Tucson, he said, you would make me Antichrist. Behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Brother Branham actually said that when people were preaching that you had to go to Jefferson or you had to go to Tucson in order to make the rapture, because Brother Branham had moved to Tucson. He said, don't do that. Yeah, it would make me an Antichrist. Well, it says, behold, he's in the secret chamber. You know what that is? Storehouse. What's it, where's that? Jeffersonville. So you got to make the headquarters this or that. No, no, no. No, he says, he goes on, he says, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the parousia of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. And immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of the heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with great sound of trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. Now remember, that's Israel. When his branch is yet tender, he putteth forth leaves. You know that summer is near. So likewise, ye, when you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. So there are attributes and characteristics that Jesus is laying out for us. He said, when you see all of these things, know it's just about time. The end is very close. He said, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day or the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the parousia of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not, they weren't aware of God's presence. There's a prophet on the scene, there had to be God on the scene. See? Knew not until the flood came and took them away, so shall also the parousia of the Son of Man be. Jesus himself preaching parousia. Then shall two be in the field, the one taken and the one left, and the other left. Two women. Remember, women represents what? Okay. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. What do you grind? Wheat, right? What does wheat represent? The word. Two women grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief should come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be you ready also, or also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give the meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, if we exclude the five verses where Jesus was specifically talking to those in Judea, all right, the Jews, the Alpha tribulation, the Alpha persecution, how many signs of his coming, signs of his parousia, signs or events or attributes, characteristics do you think that Jesus mentions here? Just take a good guess. Take a bad guess. Michael?
How many
do you think? Just off your head.
Could you repeat?
How many signs or attributes or characteristics of the parousia did Jesus mention here for us to be watching for? I'll give you a hint. It's in the dozens, okay?
Dozens.
Huh?
Dozens, you say.
In the dozens, plural. In the decades, plural. Well, that's taking too long. All right, 50. 50 attributes and characteristics just in these verses that Jesus tells about. Jesus spoke about the parousia of Christ and gave us 50 attributes and characteristics that were to take place at the time of the parousia. Now, number one, in verse 3, the question was asked, what will be the signs of thy parousia, of your presence? Signs. In other words, there's going to be things that are specific, and they said, and when will that be? All right. Verse 4, Jesus begins, take heed that no man deceive you. In other words, there'll be great deception, fake news, fake theology, fake economy. Everything's fake. A great time of deception. Have we arrived at that time in history? I think so. That attribute is fulfilled. This day, this scripture is fulfilled. Verse 5. There'll be false anointed ones. Now we know that's true. We've seen many arise in this hour, this day. Can we say this day the scripture is fulfilled? And verse 6, there'll be wars and rumors of wars. We've got more wars going on now than you can shake a stick at. Can we say this day the scripture is fulfilled? You see, if just one of these attributes Jesus said was spot on, but the others weren't, then we wouldn't know. But we're going to find that over 94% of all the things, not only Jesus says, but Paul and Peter and James and John, have already taken place in this hour. For kingdom shall arise against kingdom. Verse 7, there shall be famine. We see it everywhere, all over Africa, all over, even in this country. With all the burning of California, your crops are going to be short. With the earthquakes going on in Mexico, your crops are going to be short. Pestilence. We see more different types of diseases in this hour arise. We've got a resurgence of tuberculosis. We've got a resurgence of the plague. What's the one people melt away in the body? Bubonic and Ebola. I mean, pestilence, all right? Increase in earthquakes in many places. Now, I could put a chart out here and show you that it's just like that. You've probably all seen it if you've been to the earthquake.com, you know, place. That in the last 20 to 30 years, it's just been a multiplication of earthquakes in diverse places. The diverse means in many different places all over the world. All this shall be the beginnings of sorrows. Verse 9. Christians will be arrested. Hey, they're arrested for not even baking a cake. They're arrested for not hosting things for the homosexual agenda people. They're arrested all over the world for you name it. Christians will be afflicted. Christians will be hated by all nations. You know the number one, and I don't remember the source, but it was one of these sources that tracks human, it's a human intervention type source. They said the Christians are the most persecuted people in the world today. Christians hated by all nations. He said there'll be many stumbling blocks. Now the word stumbling block actually is a Greek word. It means apostasies. A lot of apostasies. A lot of false religion, false doctrines, false this, false that. A lot of apostasy. People falling away. Many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. Now remember, a false prophet isn't the anointing that's false. It's what they teach is false. And their deception will deceive many. Verse 12. Because iniquity abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. There isn't a love in America like there used to be. It's getting down to where Brother Brown said there would be no love except amongst the truly elect. All you got to do is turn on the TV. I don't have one, but you can turn on YouTube. Catch any news flashes. You see this riot, that riot. This protest, that protest. This in your face, that in your face. People hating. It just the hate is just spewing left and right. All these scriptural evidences are already here among us. We're partaking of these signs of the parousia of Christ. There will be an ordained group who will endure unto the end, he said, and be saved. Now, do we know who that is? Well, you should know if you are. All right. The gospel will be preached in all nations, and only the internet could make that possible. And it has made it possible. This little ministry here went into 189 nations as far away as 10 years ago. I quit tracking it after the Vatican started. They were the 189th. I said, well, it's over. Forget it. I think there's 196 total, and I think we're there. I know the Voice of God has, and they mentioned that they're now in 196 as well. All right. Verse 22. For the elect's sake, God will shorten the days, or no flesh will be saved. You got Fukushima, chemtrails, water's poisoned, hybrid foods, air's poisoned. Just about everywhere you look. They want to inject all kinds of, when I first began at Children's Hospital, we had, 11 different, there was a schedule of 11 different shots. By the time I left in 10 years, it was up to 23. Now it's up to 40, 45, something like that. Christina's in pediatrics. She could probably give you the full schedule, but it's just, it's incredible. And that's poisoning the body. There's no need for all that. If the mother is, breastfeeds the baby, the baby's going to get all the antibodies that the mother has. All right. And then tribulation. That hasn't happened yet. That's one. Arising of false Christs, false anointed ones, arising of false prophets, great deception, verse 24, so that only the elect will not be deceived. And that's because they got the Holy Ghost. 26, claims of anointed ones in the desert. Hey, that happened to Brother Brown's day. They said, you got to move to Tucson. Brother Brown said, please don't do that. That would make me a false anointed one. Claims of Christ in the storehouse. He said, don't believe it. What is that? Don't believe it. They call the tapes the token. Don't believe it. The token is the Holy Ghost. Now he anoints the tapes, but the tape itself is just a tape. In fact, they don't even use tapes anymore. It's all digital. 28. The presence will be universal as lightning lights from east to west, so shall the presence be. It's not a flash, boom, it's over. It's a flash from east to west. There's a total illumination from east to west. There will be fresh manna, the word for the season. The eagles will gather to the fresh word for the season. The sign of the Son of Man in heaven with his angels in clouds with power and great glory. We've seen it. 31. He sends his angels with great sound of a trumpet. Remember, angels are messengers. Great sound of a gospel trumpet. The elect are gathered together from the four corners of the earth. The generation that sees these things come to pass will be the last generation. And as we preached on Sunday, they're gathered together in Christ. Not to any location, because they're from the four corners of the earth. But they're being gathered together in Christ. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall the parousia of the Son of Man be in his day. Alright, so what happened in that day? There was eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, so life just went on the same as it always had. But, verse 39, they didn't know the parousia of the Son of Man was here and judgments were to follow. They were unaware. So they ate, they drank, they married, they gave in marriage, all the activities of life, and they were totally unaware that the end of the world was at hand, that God had come down in mercy before the judgment fell. Number 38, verse 40. There'll be separation. Two will be in the field, one will be taken. One will be left. Now the field represents, I believe, the field represents the ministry. You have the field, represents the ministry. You have the husbandmen out there, you have the laborers in the field. Represents the ministry. Then he says, two women, which represent churches, both grinding the wheat, both breaking down the word, one taken and the other left. I guess it depends on how you grind. It depends on election. 43. Good men, if the good man had kept a watch, so the good men will keep a watch, they will be aware of the time and they will be expecting these events. 44. We're commanded to be ready at such an hour as we think not the Son of Man will arrive. In other words, don't put any dates to it. Number 42 and verse 45. Faithful and wise servant will give household meat and spiritual food, which is spiritual food for the season they're living in. 43 and verse 46. Servants who feed spiritual food in due season will be blessed during this parousia of Christ. In 47, he will be blessed by receiving his placing as a son. In other words, this is the hour for adoption. And if you go back to verse 44, which we could do that right now, let me just notice the wording. Therefore, be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. That's the placing of a son. That's adoption. That's what God did, Isaac did with Joseph. You know, Joseph was actually placed over his brothers who were much older than he was. He was given account of them, not them given account of him. He was given the robe. He was given the position. All right. Now, all right. Number 45. There will be manifest other spiritual leaders who are unaware of the presence of the Lord. In 46, and these ministers will become abusive and mistreat their fellow ministers. 47, the presence of the Lord will come when they think it not. 48, the presence of the Lord will be hidden from the make-believers who will be unaware of the presence of the Supreme Judge. 49, instead of adoption, inheritance, and placing as a son, they are placed as hypocrites, make-believers, and just plain old play actors. And 50, and they will be left for the tribulation. I think the only thing we haven't come to yet in this hour is tribulation. Because we're in the process now of placing our sons. Brother Branham was placed, we all know his place. Others are being placed, position placed, and God raised up ministry to do things. Now, 1 Corinthians 15:23. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his parousia, Notice 51, the resurrection will take place during the time of the parousia, and there will be an order to the resurrection. Brother Brown said, I won't know anybody in my generation or generation after me, but I'll know those in my... Excuse me. I won't know anybody in the generation before me or the generation after me. I'll know those in my generation. And my generation will come up, then my father's generation will come up, my grandfather's generation, all the way back to the time of the Apostle Paul. And then Brother Brown says, he which is first shall be last. That's Paul's age. And he which is last shall be first. He said that's the order of the resurrection. So we're looking at every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits. What first fruits of what? The resurrection. He's taught this. Paul's talking about resurrection here. Afterward, they that are Christ at his parousia. All right. 1 Thessalonians 2 and 19. For what is our hope, our joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not ye even in the sight of our Lord Jesus Christ at his parousia? Notice 52. Our being in his presence, in the presence of Christ at the parousia, will be our hope. That is our hope. So for people to call it a false doctrine, they have no hope. They're putting their hope in a man raising up, and that man doing it all. That man speaking, and the resurrection takes place, and everything else. I don't see it that way. Brother Ransom, the same voice that raised Lazarus from the dead will raise the dead in the sorrow. 53. Our being in the presence of Christ at the parousia will be our joy. Our being in the presence of Christ at the parousia will be our crown of rejoicing. And I preached a message on that many years ago. That crown is actually the doxa of God coming in and our minds receiving the very mind of Christ. This is the hour for it. Second Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. Now, 1 Thessalonians 3 and 13. To the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the parousia of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So the presence of God our Father will bring with him the ministry of Malachi 4 to establish our hearts. And they'll be established unblameable in holiness. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others that have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him, or with himself. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the parousia, the presence of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, that's a message, with the voice of the archangel, that's the resurrection, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, the sleeping saints, that God brings with himself in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. So number 56, in verse 13 we see God will bring sleeping saints with him. 57, at the time of the parousia, the living saints will not go before or preceding the sleeping saints, who shall be raised up. 58, the shout, which is the message. 59, the voice, which is the resurrection. 60, the trump, which is the assembly for wedding supper. 61, the catching away to go meet the Son of God. 62, that the dead are raised at the time of the parousia of Christ. 63, the living saints and resurrected saints shall be caught up together to go meet the Son of God. And 64, during the time of the parousia of Christ, we are to be comforting one another by talking about the events brought on by his parousia. He said, comfort one another with these words. So we're not to be saying it's false. We're supposed to be looking at the events. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the parousia of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, God will preserve as blameless the body, soul, and spirit of the saints throughout the time of the parousia until it is finished. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 1, now remember, because if you walked in the light, how does he do it? If you walked in the light as he is in the light, the pillar of fire is on the scene, we're walking and following the pillar of fire. What happens then? And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. You're perfected by the blood. Amen. 66, there will be a gathering together unto him during the time of the parousia of Christ. 67, the purpose of this gathering unto him is to prevent us from being shaken in mind or spirit. 68, the time of the parousia will also be the time of great deception. 69, at the time of the parousia will also be a time of great falling away. And 70, at the time of the parousia of Christ, the son of perdition will be revealed. Now Paul says, now we beseech you, brother, by the prudence of the Lord Jesus Christ, by gathering together unto him, they soon not be shaken in mind, or be troubled, nor by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except to come a falling away first. And the man is going to be revealed, the son of perdition. So we have to see those things take place. We've already seen those things take place. They were falling away in Brother Branham's day. The word of God came, America turned it down, 1956. That's when it began. 2 Thessalonians 2:7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness or the illumination of his parousia, even him whose parousia is after the working of Satan with all powers and signs and lying wonders. So there will be two parousias, parousia of God and the parousia of Satan. Now notice verse 7. God will allow this deception of Satan to go unchecked in the world until God leaves the midst of humanity, taking the saints with him. 72. Then the Lord reveals who the son of perdition is by the brightness or the illumination of his word during his presence. And 73. Then Satan will deceive the world by his power and lying or fake falsified wonders. All right. 2 Peter 3:3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his parousia? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Notice that we have 74, the scoffers will arise during the time of the parousia. 75, they will say, if he is here, where are the promises associated with the parousia? Because all things continue as they have already been. And 76, this shows that they are aware of the teaching of the parousia, but are blinded to what the events taking place are at the time of the parousia of Christ. Now they say, oh yeah, we know that teaching that leave out, you know, that proves the doctrine, it's all false. And they're not even aware that there's like 84 attributes and characteristics that make up the signs and events of the proofs of Christ. And 79 of them are already fulfilled. God interprets his word but bring it to pass. So I would think that the proofs has been interpreted by God. Amen? Okay. James 5:7. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the parousia of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruits of the earth and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye patient, establish your hearts, for the parousia of the Lord draweth nigh. Now, 77. From verse 7. God calls us to be patient, to wait for all events to transpire at his parousia. We know that 79 of them are already finished. We're waiting on 5. Just 5 little ones, and they're going to go ching, bing, bing. Because they all have to do with the resurrection, the change of the body, the gathering together, with the living saints and the sleeping saints, and then we go. 78. And God, as a husbandryman, is patiently waiting for us to get ready and become fully mature during his parousia season. God is waiting on our adoption. He's waiting for us to be manifested as sons. He's waiting for us to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son so he can do to us what he did to his firstborn, and that's adopted. 79. There will be an early rain, a teaching rain, and then a latter rain to manifest what was taught in the former rain to manifest in the latter rain. That's what he says. He says, until he receives the early rain and the latter rain. The early, Brother Branham said, was Mora, teaching rain. And the latter rain, which is the manifestation, harvest rain. Be you patient, establish your hearts, for the parousia of the Lord draws nigh. We're in the time of the harvest right now. The sons of God are manifesting as sons of God. They are conforming to the image of the firstborn son. They are somewhere between the birth and the harvest ready, and more like up here somewhere. Verse 80. And Deuteronomy 32 tells us the doctrine of God shall drop as a rain. So a teaching of the doctrine and then a manifestation of the doctrine. That's your early and latter rain. 81. And from number 8. And this teaching rain and manifestation or harvest rain will establish the hearts of the saints until the parousia season has come to its finale. Now I could say that every single person that I've talked to as a minister of the gospel that is teaching that relationship between father and son gives the same report that their people are becoming more solid than they've ever been before. Their lives are being more focused. They're doing more soul searching. than they've ever been before. And I could ask for a show of hands, but I would believe that every one of you raise your hand and say, I am searching more than I've ever done before. I'm examining myself. I'm being established as a son of God. And I know it. I see it in my own life. I see the changes. I see God taking over my life. Now we'll go to 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, when he shall manifest, we shall have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his parousia. That's 82. And the elect shall have parhesia. That's confidence, he says. Confidence in his presence. And 83, and the elect shall not be ashamed to stand before him in his presence. Why? Because we know the blood applies. We know that, you know, although we still may have shortcomings, we know that it's already been taken care of at Calvary. 2 Peter 3:12, looking for and hasting unto the parousia of the day of God, where the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Finally, when the parousia of God comes to its climax, when God takes us up from the earth is destroyed by fire. So I hope by now that you can see clearly by Scripture, by God's vindicated prophet, that Christ has come down in this hour and has appeared to us in the form of the Holy Ghost and made himself visible in the parousia presence by his great pillar of fire among us in a way that he hasn't been for nearly 2,000 years. I've attached also another list from Brother Vail compiled back in 1981, and in which I have gleaned many scriptural references to these 11 attributes and characteristics of the parousia of Christ. But to save time, I've listed the scriptural references for you to study on your own. We don't have time to go through it because there's probably 100 or more scriptures here. Number one, he's here to make us ready, or to make ready a prepared people. We see Luke 1:17, Ephesians 1:3-6, and 17:21. We see 1 John, we see all those scriptures there. I'm not even going to read them all because it just takes too much time. Number two, he is here to gather his elect and claim his inheritance. We see about 10 scriptures there. He is here to save the righteous from perishing. Notice 2 Thessalonians 1 and 2, and verse 13, 1 Peter 1, 5, 9, 10, end time revelation, bringing salvation, etc. Just many, many scriptures. Four, he is here to save the elect from deception. There's many scriptures there. Number five, he is here to seal in the wise virgin. We know that that's Matthew 25. We know also we're ordained to pass the end time faith test, which is 1 Peter 1, 3-7. And that faith test is the revelation of Jesus Christ. God has ordained his elect to pass the test, i.e. Godhead, parousia, etc. But those who fall away from the faith, the revelation of Jesus Christ, are reprobate concerning the faith, which is the revelation. Number six, he's here to separate the chaff from the wheat. Number seven, he is here to raise the dead. Number eight, he is here to change the living. That's going on right now. Number nine, he is here to put us in the rapture. And Brother Branson said the rapture began with a shout, so we're already in it. Not caught up yet. We're still waiting for that part of it. But if we're in the one part, we're going to be in that other part. Number ten, he is here to glorify his saints and to be glorified in his saints. Number 11, he is here to judge the living and the dead, investigating judgment, because the supreme judge has come down. Now there are many questions that have risen as a result of certain people trying to teach this message of Christ appearing without really understanding it. That breaks the continuity of Scripture, and as a result many fanatical doctrines have been superimposed, which have caused much distress among message believers, such as those who continue to teach that there are two Lords, even after Brother Vail himself point blank called that a fallacy. You see, preaching two Lords brings confusion because the Bible doesn't teach it. Brother Vail said it's a fallacy, we shouldn't teach it. And he said, but if you wish to remain stupid, remain stupid. He said, that's Lee Vail speaking. Paul said ignorant. Okay. Now, I hope this detailed list of what is supposed to happen at the appearing of, and parousia presence of Christ will help those who have any questions concerning the biblical teaching on the parousia of Christ to gain a full understanding and the rest that comes with being in his presence. I'm talking about not the rest like there's more coming. I'm talking about the rest like relaxation. And I hope it puts to rest any confusion that still may be out there concerning the parousia, whether it's a false teaching or not. After all, God interprets his word by bringing it to pass, and we can see that 94% of what was prophesied to take place at his parousia has already taken place in this hour, and the remaining five events speak of what is yet to come as God winds down his parousia presence before he takes us to glory. Those remaining are the resurrection, the change of the body, the coming together of the living with the sleeping saints in a resurrection ministry. I believe that's what the tent is all about. 4, then the catching away, and 5, finally the destruction of the earth by fire, and we have tribulation, etc. That's it. I hope that if there's any questions, you'll write them down, and we'll cover those in another service. Right, let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, because there's just so much evidence that your parousia, which was taught by Jesus, taught by Paul, taught by Peter, taught by John, taught by James, taught by Brother Branham. And so we teach it. And we believe it's a true doctrine. It's a true Bible doctrine that speaks of the great universal presence of you, Lord, in a last sweep, in a last harvest ministry to get your bride together. And Father, we just ask that you would help us to submit to it and be ready for the change that's coming. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Short, but not so short if you take each one of those and study them up.